stiff arm. Gore cuts it inside. Frank Gore is still going. Touchdown, San Francisco.
Two from the 40. Couple of tight ends. Receiver right and Adrian. Hand off Adrian. Scoots loose up the middle. Across the 30. To the 20. Inside the 10. Touchdown.
First down and 10. Johnson gets a shoulder square. Watch out. He's got to get away from the top speed. Touchdown.
Welcome in to Grinding the Edge, episode number 45 here on South Harmon. I'm your host, Koopa, and you can find me on X at Dynasty Koopa and everywhere else at Koopa Troopa 8. If you haven't heard about it, South Harmon is doing a rookie draft guide. Go to draftguide25.com and check out the preview. If you like it, pre-orders are on sale right now for $8.99. When it releases on February 23rd, it's going to go up to $11.99. That's a 25% discount for going and paying for it before it releases. And don't worry, we will keep updating it throughout the entire draft process. And as long as you buy the pre-order, you will continually get every single update emailed to your inbox and freely available to you on the South Harmon website as many times as you want to download it. So once again, go to draftguide25.com and check it out. While you're there on the South Harmon website, I also want you to check out the Warp Tool, and that's going to be related to today's episode topic. The Warp Tool is something that I've created on South Harmon that allows you to view the relative value of positions in your leagues. What I aim to do today is to talk about how one single scoring setting can drastically change a strategy that I would try to employ in one of my leagues. This past week, I talked with Eric on America's Game about quarterback warp, and one of the topics that we covered briefly was 6-point per passing touchdown leagues versus 4-point per passing touchdown leagues. I mostly covered it on the idea of what kinds of quarterbacks that would change for me. How if I'm in a 4-point per passing touchdown league, it makes those rushing quarterbacks even stronger compared to the passers. But I was also talking about how in 6-point, it changes how I want to go for those quarterbacks over some of the other positions. And so what I want to do here today is talk about what that looks like from the warp chart. So if you want to follow along with me, for the next week or two, I'm going to have two leagues up on my profile on the warp calculator. So if you put the username KoopaTroopa8 into the warp calculator, I have two leagues right at the top, Test 6-point and Test 4-point. Those are the two leagues that I'm going to be using to talk about with this episode. And the only difference between the two leagues is that in one league it has 6-point per passing touchdowns and the other it's 4-point per passing touchdown. Everything else is exactly the same. Everything else is bog standard. It is a lineup league. It is start 10. And most of the scoring settings are just completely average. So what I wanted to talk through was what some of the differences look like in 4-point versus 6-point, and what those look like from a warp perspective, but also the quarterbacks relative to each other. Because that was the topic that we were talking about the most on America's Game. We were talking about how quarterbacks are relative to each other. And I mentioned how the points don't change as much when you're talking at the top grouping, but as you get further down, those points can start to differ even more. So let me set the premise. The premise is that you're trying to figure out how many points is it worth having the quarterback 20 versus the quarterback 20 between a 6-point league and a 4-point league. If we're just comparing those two, if you look at raw points, those raw points are 18.3 for the 6-point and 15.6 for the 4-point. Now, it looks like, hey, that is a 2.7-point difference. But what we really want to be doing is comparing this to our number one overall quarterback. We want to compare what's the difference to the person that had Lamar Jackson this past year. And so that number is actually less of a difference. When we're looking at the difference between quarterback 20 in a 4-point league versus quarterback 1, that difference this past year was exactly 10 points per game. So there was a 10 points per game difference between quarterback 20 and quarterback 1. From a warp perspective, that difference was the difference between 2.555 warp and 0.822 warp. So that difference was about a 1.73 warp difference. So those 10 points were worth 1.73 warp over the course of the season. That means that on average, you likely lost almost 2 games purely because of that quarterback difference. However, when we compare 4-point per passing touchdown versus 6-point in terms of overall scoring, the difference between quarterback 20 and number 1 in a 4-point league was 10, and in a 6-point league, that was 12.1. So we only have a 2-point difference between that quarterback 20 and that quarterback 1, depending on the 4-point and 6-point per passing touchdown, which shows us that the difference down there at quarterback 20 is the equivalent of that the top quarterback is getting one extra touchdown per game. That's all it is, one extra passing touchdown, and that's where those 2 extra points are coming from. So when you're comparing those top quarterbacks versus those lower quarterbacks all the way down in that quarterback 20 range, you can pay attention to the fact that it's only one touchdown's worth or only 2 points per game difference between the two scoring settings, which tracks pretty nicely, 4 point per passing touchdown versus 6 point per passing touchdown. If you're in a crazy league where it's 8 points per passing touchdown, I bet you that number is going to be pretty close to 4. Or maybe you're in a league that's trying to strike the difference. You're at 5 points per passing touchdown. It's a 1 point difference. So when we're looking at that 4 point versus 6 point, the difference between that quarterback 1 and that quarterback 20, it's not terribly different to me. It's not something where 2 points per game, yeah, that's something that I have a little bit of concern about. But when I talk about playing the tight ends don't matter strategy, I'm basically saying I'm willing to sacrifice like 3 or 4 points per game to have no value at that position. So this overall points difference between the quarterbacks of the 4 point versus the 6 point league, it's not even the full difference between the tight ends don't matter strategy and getting yourself like the tight end 8 or something like that. Where this difference comes is when you value the positions the same. If you value the positions the same between the 4 point and 6 point leagues, the 6 point league quarterbacks are more valuable. And so that's something you see in general in the fantasy space. But you don't see it as much when you get to the lower tier quarterbacks. When you're getting down to those 10 to 20 overall quarterbacks, you see that they tend to be around the same price. You tend to be paying in order to get a quarterback who is decent. And so in a 4-point league, they tend to be a little bit overvalued. And in a 6-point league, I feel like that they're valued the right amount. And this is where warp can help me make that decision as to are they over or undervalued. If we compare some of these lower value quarterbacks, the quarterback 20 in a 6-point league this past year is the equivalent to Ramondre Stevenson. Ramondre Stevenson, he wasn't the best running back this past year, but he had some solid weeks. He was able to go out there and he gave you some weeks where you were happy to have him in your lineup. Whereas in a 4-point per passing touchdown league, that quarterback 20 was the equivalent of Javonte Williams. Javonte Williams was somebody that we had a tough time putting into our lineups. He was somebody that if you were putting him in your flex spot, you weren't feeling great about it for most of the season. At the end of the season, if you look back on some of his metrics, maybe you think he did a little better than it felt, but he was definitely really disappointing. And so when you're looking at, okay, what is that equivalent player? What is that equivalent value? You're trying to compare the production of somebody like Tua Tagovailoa or Matthew Stafford to one of these running backs. And in a 4 point per passing touchdown league, you can say, those guys have a ton of value. People want to have those guys. Whereas the equivalent player, Ramondre Stevenson, people are like holding on to him like he's an almost dead asset. If you look at where they're going in startups, the value is totally different between the two of them. Now, there is some youth and factor there, but I think Matthew Stafford is a great person to compare it with. Matthew Stafford is an old quarterback where we don't know how many more years he'll have in this league, and the same thing goes with Ramondre Stevenson. If they're both producing around these same numbers, you would think that they have a very similar ADP, and instead Matthew Stafford is being picked way higher than Ramondre right now. At least in a 6 point per passing touchdown league, it makes some sense, because the quarterback actually has some scarcity, and you're getting equivalent warp out of it, without having to have somebody else sell you a quarterback in a league where if you don't have that second quarterback, the difference between having one and not having one is even starker because of the 6 point per passing touchdown. If you consider that any decent quarterback worth starting in fantasy is going to have probably 2 points or two touchdowns per game, you're already talking about putting up 12 points, and that's before you count any yardage. That's the amount that you're going to get out of a lot of your tier 3 wide receivers, your tier 3 running backs, the guys that you're probably trying to find a way to slot into starting spots as opposed to just being in your flex. And if they are in your flex, you're feeling very happy about them being there. So these quarterbacks, they are absolutely needed in the 6 point leagues. But in the 4 point leagues, the difference between that quarterback and not having them becomes not as much. All of a sudden, it's an 8 point quarterback. And so you have those 8 points, then you can add the yards on, so they'll still probably get more than your normal flex. But the difference is not quite as stark. You get an extra 4 points on that 6 point per passing touchdown league than you do over the 4 point per passing touchdown. All of this to say, even though the warp value between Matthew Stafford and Ramondre Stevenson are the same, in terms of looking at it from a I need to have a second quarterback perspective, it is probably worth paying a little bit of an extra premium for Matthew Stafford because of that scarcity argument. When we get into those 4 point per passing touchdown leagues where Matthew Stafford is the equivalent of Javonte Williams, we start to see that the quarterbacks, as you get further and further down, they just are really not worth that much. Javonte Williams is a running back that at certain points this season probably could be gotten for a third. Or sold for a third, like it realistically a second for him is asking a lot. And the only reason he was really as high as he was because he was healthy the whole year. So if we're able to take our Matthew Stafford and potentially just replace him with something slightly lower, that maybe it's just that random Mason Rudolph and Malik Willis combination that I talked about with the backup quarterbacks, all of a sudden, now you can start piecing together a quarterback that the difference in terms of drop from a warp perspective is pretty negligible compared to the upgrade that you can get at some other position. And the bonus is that you're hitting a steeper portion of the curve in the 4 point per passing touchdown compared to the 6 point by going to the running backs and wide receivers. Because warp compares the positions to each other and the quarterbacks are scoring more, naturally the warp for quarterbacks is going to be higher at the top end. And when it's higher at the top end, it means that the line is steeper because the line goes all the way down to zero. Of course, there is a replacement player every single week. And so the further you can get up that line on the positions that are above all the others, you're getting more value. And you're getting more points on your team that are meaningful the higher up you go. In the 4 point per passing touchdown leagues, the highest positions are basically dual wide receiver and running back, and the wide receivers have more depth than the running backs, so that line stays the highest. So if you can upgrade the wide receivers, that helps you out the most. But running backs I like to use as the alternative argument because of how cheap they tend to be in Dynasty. In the 6 point per passing touchdown leagues, the quarterback is the top position. Until you get to quarterback 11, the quarterback is above their equivalent at every other position, and quarterback 11 is right on top of the wide receivers. When we compare the number of quarterbacks that are available in the NFL versus the number of wide receivers and running backs, this becomes even more stark. The number of quarterbacks that we're starting on a weekly basis is 24 of them, whereas the number of wide receivers and running backs that we're starting on a weekly basis goes all the way out into like 36 and 45. So when we're comparing these total numbers, we have to compare it at that aspect. And when we're looking at those, the quarterback is the position that is the most valuable compared to their relative positions in the whole starting lineup. When we compare that at the 4 point per passing touchdown, you see that that quarterback 24 is much lower in comparison to their corresponding ones at the running back and wide receiver position. That 24 is in line with that 36, and it's about in line with the wide receiver 50. In the 6 point leagues, it's in line with running back 30 and wide receiver 42. So think about that. We just cut out a total of 14 players in terms of the equivalent to the quarterback 24, literally the worst quarterback that you would want to have starting on your team for that week. And we've cut out 14 total players from in one scoring setting, them being better, and in one scoring setting, them being worse. That quarterback 24 is worth more simply because the quarterback value is worth more in that league. But his relative value between them and the number one quarterback is not as stark. That relative value from a warp perspective is the difference of 2.943 to 0.824 warp in the 6 point per passing touchdown league. So that's a difference of right around 2.1. In the 4 point per passing touchdown league, we have 2.5 is the warp for the first quarterback, and we have 0.673 for the 24th quarterback. So that difference ends up being right around 1.9. The difference in that drop of warp is only 0.2. The difference between Ramondre Stevenson and Javonte Williams, those running backs I was talking from earlier, is 0.45. So the difference in those equivalent players is more than the drop between the position relatively. And so if we're valuing our 4 point per passing touchdown quarterbacks as very similar to our 6 point, which is pretty easy to fall into a pattern of doing when you're in a 4 point league versus a 6 point league, you are now just essentially leaving value on the table. If you're able to say, I know that quarterbacks are less value in that 4 point league, I am going to sell them at the same prices that I need to pay for them in that 6 point league, you're going to be putting your value into positions and getting more warp value out of your quarterbacks. And I want to talk a little bit about how this affects the high end too. In terms of the absolute top tier of players, the top four quarterbacks in a 6 point per passing touchdown league are higher than every single running back and wide receiver, and tight end for that matter, except for the number one running back and the number one wide receiver. Quarterback four is right in line with running back two and wide receiver two. When you're looking at the 4 point scoring, that quarterback number four is in line with running back five and wide receiver six. So we're actually looking at where that running back two and wide receiver two, the ones that are in line with quarterback four in the 6 point per passing touchdown, are now in line with quarterback one in the 4 point per passing touchdown. This means that when we're talking about those wide receivers that we think are probably just going to end up finishing top three no matter what, like your Ja'Marr Chase, your CeeDee Lamb, even Justin Jefferson, who was able to finish as the wide receiver five, despite all of the narrative that was going against him this year, and with how good that Minnesota offense was. Those wide receivers are all up there with the top quarterbacks, those guys that we're drafting with those first picks in the startup. And we need to be willing to value them in that same tier. We need to be willing to say yes when Jalen Hurts is hurt for those championship weeks. If you can swap him into that Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, etc. tier, that is not only a really good move, it might even be a winning one. If those wide receivers are higher than Jalen Hurts was at the quarterback four position. Whereas with the 6 point per passing touchdown league, if you were trying to trade away that quarterback four, you better be darn sure you're getting that wide receiver one or that wide receiver two. And that wide receiver two is only breaking you even. You actually are getting an increase in warp if you get anything better than wide receiver six when trading them away in the 4 point per passing touchdown league, when you're trading away that Jalen Hurts. But in that 6 point, you need to be darn sure that you have the number one or number two wide receiver nailed. And we don't have that kind of prediction. Even if we go into the season saying Ja'Marr Chase has the best odds, we've seen Ja'Marr Chase for multiple years, and he has not been able to consistently be the number one. He was number six in 2022. He was number 12 in 2023. And he was number one in 2024. Do we think that that's likely going to repeat? Probably not. The last time that it repeated was Cooper Kupp in 2021 to 2022. But if you look at the rest of the top six and top 12, those numbers almost never stay the same. They fluctuate up and down on a year-to-year basis. So you don't want to trust that. You want to be looking for where there's pockets of groups of players that you know you can trust. And so in the case of the quarterbacks, you have a group of rushing quarterbacks where you have four rushers that are higher than every other position in terms of warp in that 6 point per passing touchdown league. And so that's why I said I want to have one of those guys in that 6 point league. They become that much more valuable. Whereas when I look at a 4 point per passing touchdown league, those four can be easily replaced with the wide receivers. If you're getting those wide receivers in that top range, you're getting equivalent warp value. And we know that with how we play Dynasty, we only are really looking at 2 to 3 year windows in terms of overall value. I would not plan on having a player longer than that. And so if you're looking at what is the equivalent value going to be for CeeDee Lamb, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson in 2 to 3 years from now, it's going to be right around the same value as they have been for the past 2 to 3 years. They aren't getting that old where we're starting to really devalue them. These quarterbacks, it's going to be a similar thing. Some of these quarterbacks are starting to get older, but that value is not going to change very much. So in terms of dynasty value, how I view them all to be pretty equivalent in terms of value retention. So I can focus entirely on the odds of me getting the better player for my team right now. And in a 4 point per passing touchdown league, that is the wide receiver. In the 6 point per passing touchdown league, that's the quarterback. And so then you can see a similar thing go for the rest of the positions. Am I going to be confident that my quarterback six, say I get a Joe Burrow, is going to be quarterback six versus, say, quarterback 10 if he's missing T. Higgins next year? That difference takes me from needing to guess whether I have a top 12 wide receiver versus whether I have a top 22. That is a huge difference between those two places. I am pretty confident I can name a receiver who will be a wide receiver too, or who I think will be a top 20 guy. And there's tons of guys that are in that safe range where, yeah, they probably aren't going to be that super top echelon. They probably are not going to be in striking distance of being a top six wide receiver. But they also are going to be solidly like somewhere between wide receiver 10 and 20. There's quite a few of those guys. You know who they all are. And the quarterbacks, if I'm worried about Joe Burrow being quarterback 6 versus quarterback 10, that warp equivalent between that range of wide receivers and a quarterback like Joe Burrow is a massive difference. Whereas if I bring that back over to the 6 point, I'm comparing that Joe Burrow quarterback 6 versus quarterback 10, that difference is the difference between wide receiver 5 and wide receiver 9. So I need to know that I am getting a wide receiver who's going to finish in that 5-9 range this upcoming year. That number is extremely small. Those guys that you predict, hey, are going to be up there are some really, really expensive names. And so when I am looking at which quarterback versus wide receiver do I want, I can lean the quarterback in that scenario. The chance that my quarterback is able to match the value that I'm putting into him is so much higher in the 6 point per passing touchdown league. Whereas when I look at it in the 4 point per passing touchdown league, that value looks so different. The players that it's matching up with, and more specifically the range that they need to match, becomes so much larger that I look at it from a totally different perspective. I now know that I can predict that result with way more accuracy for way cheaper in the 4 point per passing touchdown. Whereas in the 6 point, I feel like that quarterback tax that I am paying to know that I have one of my quarterback positions filled is well worth what I can pick up on the back end by filling with some of the lower value wide receivers in my wide receiver spots. In that 4 point per passing touchdown league, that tax is so not worth it. You're talking multiple startup rounds at the top levels in order where I can fill the equivalent of somebody that I am probably having to get in the first round of my startup. And that difference is so massive that it makes me almost not want to be in the back half of a first round of startup in a 4 point per passing touchdown league and take a quarterback. I want to be taking other positions because that's where the value is going to lie. Even at the very, very beginning of a 4 point per passing touchdown startup, like, yeah, I might be wanting to take one of the quarterbacks just so I know I have one, but if I can trade back for some amount of value into the latter part of that first round and just pick up Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, trade back like 3 picks from the 103 and get myself one of Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Malik Nabers, one of those guys, I now have a golden asset from a work perspective, have accumulated extra value from my quarterback position, and I can still come around and take some quarterbacks when I need them later on. But I'm filling that position that's on top, that has that steeper value to your team curve, without sacrificing value in terms of dynasty market. And that's ultimately where using the whole warp tool comes down to. Identifying the value to your team, having an intuitive sense of what the dynasty market is like, and figuring out how to play them off of each other. Knowing that the dynasty market tends to put very similar values when you have very similar scoring settings. And when you get far enough down from the top tier, everyone just values all the players the same, almost regardless of what the scoring settings are. And if you can identify those pockets where, hey, there's this range of potential outcomes from the quarterback position, and there's this range of equivalent potential outcomes at the wide receiver position, which one is worth more? Which one is worth less? At the running back position, Is this worth more or less than the equivalent range at the quarterback or the wide receiver? And that's where you can start figuring out how you want to shift value between the different positions in all of your leagues. If you're in a really smart league, and they do adjust this in terms of market values, all this advice might not be correct for that kind of league. But you'd be able to come back here and know that warp to actual market value, everything is the same. And now you can potentially find a strategy that doesn't involve what I've been talking about. Maybe you can find a winning strategy off of those top tier quarterbacks, have a top tier and a mid tier quarterback, and you have some mid tier wide receivers and some higher tier running backs, and that would be what works for you. But in many of our leagues, those quarterbacks and those running backs and those wide receivers are looked at exactly the same. When I go to put my auto accept trade block up in my leagues, I see that it's a 6 point per passing touchdown league, and I see that it's a 4 point per passing touchdown league. And that auto accept trade block for Tony Pollard, it's still a second round pick. It doesn't matter that in the 4 point he's worth more compared to the 6 point. That's all I'm going to get out of him in either league. Nobody's going to pay me more. And so I've just spent 30 minutes talking into your ear about the difference between 4 point versus 6 point passing touchdowns, to give you an idea of how I look at the warp tool, to give you an understanding of how something so simple can get so complicated. And that's the point of this podcast. Grind those edges. Figure out where can you find that small little advantage that might be able to take you over the top. As I mentioned before, go check out everything we have at southharmonff.com. The rookie guide coming out is on pre-order until February 23rd, and that's also where you can get access to the warp tool that I've been referencing all throughout this episode. That's everything that I have for you. Stay sharp, keep grinding that edge, and I'll see you next week.